In my experience, Christians have a number of questions as they journey through life, maybe from the time of their coming to know Jesus to the baptism and even beyond the years. Some may ask, am I saved? Others may say, am I going to heaven? Or am I born again? Or will I lose my salvation? These are legitimate questions that Christians may have as we walk our journey through life. This morning, the passage out of the book of Ephesians by Paul gives us some very straightforward answers. At least I think the answers are there in this passage. Hence, I call this sharing selected, saved, and sealed. Selected, saved, and sealed. Now, the letter to the Ephesians is a prison letter written inside a prison by Paul while he was languishing in a Roman prison. The theme of the letter is the process and consequences of believers, you and I. Now, being Christ, by their regeneration of and through the Holy Spirit and the adoption into God's family. That's where we belong. Ephesians chapter 1, it says, the verses 3 to 14, and it's quite a number of verses. I understand that the original Greek is just one sentence, rather than multiple sentences and verses. A long sentence consisting of 202 words out of these three verses of unbroken thoughts by Paul. It is as if Paul, once he begins in discussing God's unfathomable love, sovereign will, and predestining power, simply cannot stop. He just go on and on and on and saying until 202 words is used up and reach a suitable conclusion all in one breath. Putting it simply, my dear brothers and sisters, you are selected, you are saved, and you are sealed. And where do I get this from? From this passage from the book of Ephesians. Let's revisit that, a few of those lines. Ephesians 1 verse 5, we say, He, referring to God, He predestined, that means selected, us for adoption into His family. In Him, we were all chosen, having been predestined according to God's plan. In Him, we have redemption, saved through the blood, by Jesus' blood, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing, that means sealed, our inheritance. That's where I got the three words from. Selected, saved, and sealed. Let's unpack those three very important words for us today. What do they actually mean to us? Believers have been selected or predestined. That's verses 3 to 6. We have been chosen. You have been chosen before the foundation of the world, according to the good pleasure of God's will. We have been chosen for leading a life in holiness, adoption as God's children, acceptance through Jesus Christ, and to the praise of God's grace. You may ask, why you? Why me? I don't know. But God has chosen you. God has selected you. And this personal predestinating has nothing to do with us or our own goodness or merit. We play no part in the blessings of our own salvation, except a passive acceptance to a degree. Or we may say, yes sir, I've done all the sinning, and Jesus, he done all the savings. The word predestined means to predetermine your end. Predetermine your end. Or to establish your destiny beforehand. The Lord chose a pagan, Abram. That was his name before he was changed to Abraham. Abram, he was a pagan in the city of Ur, and promised him land that he will have and innumerable descendants. That was God choosing Abram when he was still living in Ur and was a pagan. Why Abram? Because God has decided on him. Simple as that. God has decided on Abram. He chose Abram, changed his name to Abraham, and then he's the father of all nations. The Lord chose the people of Israel to rescue them from bondage in Egypt, to give his law to the people to bless and to give a blessed land to them. This selecting of Israel had nothing to do with their worthiness. In fact, oftentimes you and I read and say they're probably not very worthy of God's love because of disobedience. But God chose them. Why? Ask God. God chose them to be his people. In fact, in the Psalms, God said that he chose the Jews because they were the weakest, most backward people, just for the purpose of manifesting God's power to the nations. Interesting the way God chooses people and things. And God chose you. If you are a born-again Christian, believer in Jesus Christ. And that's the important thing. Born again. He selected you. He elected you. He predestined you for forgiveness of sin, holiness, and adoption into his family and everlasting life. You may have a couple of questions at least. Say, but what about our free will? Why did God choose some and not others? Well, this is another two or three sermons if I'm to answer those questions. And I'm not about to delve into it immediately today. But what I can say today is that we inherited the guilt of the first set of parents, Adam and Eve. We also inherited a fallen nature and a natural inclination to sin. Left to ourselves, we would be lost forever. We are the children of wrath, as the scripture says, is what Paul calls us before we knew Christ. So the first imagery is death. And the second imagery is slavery. I have been to cemeteries, partly because of what I sometimes have to do. It ain't a lot of choosing going on in cemeteries. And in Romans, the Paul says, we were slaves to sin. A slave must do what the master commands. Ask an addict or an alcoholic how much free will he has. he will tell you how much free will he has. The truth is, our so-called free will isn't free after all. We have a nature, by birth, which inclines more toward evil than good. The truth is, our free will is limited. Ask yourself this, why am I here in church today and not my spouse or my family or others or my sisters or my boss? Is it because you are more worthy that you are here? Smarter? Better looking? And more clever? No. It is sheer grace that God have chosen you and that you are here. So that's the selective part. The second part is that believers have been saved. In verse 7 it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, that is Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the purpose of his will. We have redemption, rescue from the wrath of God, forgiveness of sins, and inheritance in heaven, eternal security. That's what we have. Once you have been saved, you are saved. Nothing can change your eternal destiny. It's not through family connection that you are saved. It is not by simply attending church you are saved. Not simply by taking communion you are saved. Nor simply baptism you are saved. But rather, we must believe and accept Jesus and be born again. Born again. And Jesus said that to Nicodemus. Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 19, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those who has given me, but raise them up at the last day. What we have been given, we have been given because of the riches of God's grace, because of God's good pleasure, for the praise of God's glory. Paul's language in Ephesians, it is a fact. It is a done deal. It is accomplished through Christ and through Christ alone. The last one of the S word. Believers have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in anticipation of eternity. We are sealed. We have been selected, saved, and sealed. We receive the Holy Spirit when we believe. We receive the Holy Spirit to authenticate our adoption. And you can also read about that in the book of Revelation. Believers have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in anticipation of that eternity. Verses 13 and 14, let us revisit that. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is, notice this, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. In Britain, I have not been there yet, one day I may pay a visit to Britain. You undoubtedly seen the shield with the letter ER. Is that correct? ER? Yep. Some kind of shield, alright? Or whatever that may be called. On public buildings around the country. Now, the ER stands for Elizabeth Regina. And the shield is known as the Royal Warrant. It marks those things that belong to the crown. Paul says here in Ephesians, as believers, we have been given the Holy Spirit in our hearts as an authenticating proof of our birth. It's like that warrant, like that warrant, as a sign to mark us as God's, and as a kind of down payment of the glory that awaits us when Jesus returns. How do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? If you sin and feel the prick in your conscience, in your head, in your mind, or even in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit working inside you. If you find inexplicable comfort while facing turmoil and in a storm and in troubles, the Holy Spirit's presence is with you. If you are a sister in prayer, moved to compassion by others' pain, and have a desire to be in the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit is present, prompting you, convicting you, and leading you. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in the believer and is that authentication of that genuineness of his or her new birth. He is also a deposit of the glory that you and I await in times to come. So, dear brothers and sisters, you are selected. You are saved. And you are sealed.